snaps it back. Ball down. Hopkins into it. Flag down. Kick is up. And the kick is good with 2 seconds left.
And there you go. Browns come away with a 13-10 win over the Steelers. Jim Donovan back in the chair, smashing a guitar. I was worried when he was smashing the guitar. Here's a guy's coming back from treatments, and they're giving him a guitar, and he has to put on goggles so nothing bad happens. You don't want to have anything damage his eyesight while he's going to be up there. But the good win for the Browns yesterday, 7-3. Time to talk Browns football with Scott Petrek of the Chronicle Telegram and BrownZone.com. It's brought to you on WEOL by Jamelis Wilson, Merrill & Fritz Company, attorneys at law and Royal Business Equipment. Rocco Nucci also here with us this morning. Scott, good morning. 7-3. Let's see, what? Did we get disconnected, Scott? I'm just checking out.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, right, but I'm back.
All right. You missed my big build-up.
I heard you. Yeah. I heard you. All right.
7-3. So playoffs are kind of in our sight. Don't want to get ahead of ourselves on there. But how important really was that win yesterday over the Steelers?
Yeah, to me it was huge on a couple different levels. Number one, you know, there is a battle going on for the AFC North title. And the Browns and Steelers were both tied at 6-3 for second place. And now the Browns are 7-3, second place by themselves, and only a half game behind the Ravens. So that's big.
Sorry. This is hold on a minute here. Let's right.
You got me?
Yeah, that's right. It's a penalty and a fumble on my part. I apologize for that. So
you got me?
Yes, I got you. We're ready to
okay.
go, sir.
Yeah. So that's, you know, the AFC North race is one thing. And then the second thing is you lost Deshaun Watson, right? Your starting quarterback. So it was important to see how Dorian Thompson-Robinson could play, see how he would play, see if he could win a game. Because to me, that was the biggest question mark. You knew how good the defense was. You knew how good the special teams were. You had to see if he could win with DTR, especially after how poorly he played in his first start. So he wasn't great yesterday, but he was good enough to win, and he was really good at the end on that winning drive. So I think now the team and he and the fans can have confidence that, okay, you can go win games and try to finish this playoff chase with DTR quarterback.
Of course, they have the Joe Flacco news. Where do we stand on that? I know it comes out. I don't know anything is official.
I talked to three people last night. He's going to sign to the practice squad. It'll probably be today. You know, they want him in town and helping prepare for this week, right? Be part of the game plan for this week against Denver. At some point, the expectation is he'll go from the practice squad to the active roster. You know, Dorian Thompson-Robinson is still the starting quarterback. Could Joe Flacco become the number two when he gets comfortable? I think that makes sense to me. And then, you know, is he the fallback if Thompson-Robinson gets hurt? Or if at some point he struggles to a point where the Browns say, hey, we need to make a move. But, you know, the plan is to stick with DTR, but they needed a third quarterback, and they wanted a veteran third quarterback, and Joe Flacco is really veteran. He started 103 regular season games, especially because Watson's going to go get surgery. It's supposed to be this week in L.A., so he'll be away from the team for at least a little bit. And, you know, with DTR being a rookie, you want somebody with a lot of experience in that room.
Deshaun Watson on the sideline yesterday. All I can tell you is I think he sold me that hoodie with the brownie on front of it. It looked good. It looks good on him. I don't know how me, but it looks like some interesting merch I might look for the holidays. After the game,
I actually heard they're running out of those, so I think you might want to find one.
Oh, well, you know, he's an influencer in some sports, obviously, yeah, for that. Let's talk a little bit about DTR. How did he feel after the game? I know right after the game, he had his head down for a good reason as opposed to, you know, a loss reason for that.
He felt good about it. You know, to me it was interesting because I mentioned he played so poorly in that start against the Ravens October 1st. He threw three interceptions, just made a bunch of bad decisions, didn't look comfortable. He said it was going to be night and day. He knew all week he was going to be the starter. It's 6 weeks later. He'd had more practice time in the interim. He'd been playing well in practice on the scout team. Just all of it where he felt, you know, he said it was going to be night and day. And then that first half yesterday, I thought it was night and day. He thought he was really solid. They moved the ball enough. They scored, you know, they took a 10-0 lead in the halftime. Then the second half, it wasn't the same. And the Steelers did some things differently on defense. They took away the run, which made them try to pass, but you wanted to be careful, not turn the ball over. You didn't want to hold the ball too long because the Steelers have a real good pass rush off the edge. They have all those things working into it. Yeah, his receivers dropped, you know, a handful of passes, starting with David Njoku, the tight end, dropped like four. So all that's working against him, and I don't think he's playing well in that second half. The Browns aren't moving the ball. The Steelers rally the tie. And before that last drive, I think in the second half, he was 9-for-17 for 28 yards. Well, obviously that's not going to get it done. But then gets the ball back with 1:18 left and goes completion, 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 completion. All of a sudden you're in field goal range, run it twice, penalty on the Steelers, and Dustin Hopkins kicks the winner. So I think it's a really good sign that in the biggest moment he came through, and there was enough other stuff throughout the game. It was okay. It is a big jump. I don't know if I'd go night and day jump, but certainly a step in the right direction.
Scott, does DeJuan Jones deserve some credit for kind of holding this, holding this offensive line together, but being a key part of an offensive line that has kind of been held together all season long?
Yeah, he does, just overall, right? He took over week one, I think it was the second quarter, when Jack Conklin went down, right, the two-time All-Pro right tackle. And Jones has been in there since, and he's played well, especially in pass protection, which we know how important that is in this league. Big, huge body, 6'8", 374. All these games run together. So he gets hurt in Seattle, doesn't play the second half with a shoulder injury, comes back, plays in next week against Arizona, hurts his knee, only misses a snap, finishes the game, but the combination and mostly the knee kept him out last week in Baltimore. The Browns figured out a way to win in Baltimore without both starting tackles because Jed Wills Jr. is on the IR with a sprained knee. So he's really played well, and he's helped stabilize things on the offensive line. But then yesterday was just weird because he was active. He'd been questionable, was limited in practice, was active, but then doesn't start. When, you know, usually when a guy's active, he starts. But then anytime they were in like a certain passing situation, you know, 3rd and 7, 3rd and 10, he would come in off the bench for James Hudson III. And Kevin Stefanski said he'd never done that before, but Jones wasn't quite 100%. So they're trying to like give him a little bit of a break, but he's better in pass protection than James Hudson III. And TJ Watt, you know, is the former defensive player of the year, has entered the game with 10.5 sacks. He was coming off the edge on third downs, and they wanted a better pass protector out there. So that's a weird thing to do, but I think it does speak to Jones, his importance, and then his ability to fight through an injury.
Talking to Scott Petrick at the Chronicle-Telegram and BrownZone.com. The Browns get ready for Denver. I watched the game against the Minnesota Vikings, and Josh Dobbs unable to do that final drive to get into field goal range for the Vikings, and the Broncos end up winning. They're on a roll right now. What are we getting ourselves into when we head out to Denver?
Yeah, I was still working, so I didn't get to watch that game. I got it recorded. They've won four in a row, right? Denver's won four in a row. After a rough start, they had a good coach, right? Sean Payton, who was in New Orleans forever. Now he's in Denver. Russell Wilson, a quarterback, a couple of receivers. I think they have a good defense. But the turnaround, and I have read a little bit about that game, is Denver's defense is creating a ton of takeaways. I think it's 14 in the last four games. So obviously when you do that, that shifts the odds of winning. And they've been winning close, so they've needed those takeaways. And I did see their Monday night game against Buffalo. So and that was just the other day. And they went in and got an upset in Buffalo. So they are playing well. They have rebounded. You know, just right now, I would say the key is not turning the ball over. You know, that's when the Browns don't do that, they have a really good chance to win. Thompson Robinson had one interception yesterday. That was it. If they can protect the ball, I like their chances. But that's going to be tough. That's a tough place to play in Denver. Those fans will be pumped up given the fact that they're on that winning streak and then back in playoff contention.
Sounds good. We'll talk again Monday, hopefully after a Browns victory against the Broncos. Appreciate your time.
Thanks, guys.
Scott Petrick joining us this morning from the Chronicle-Telegram, BrownZone.com.